Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Eating Quite Orderly and Respectfully.
Eat your spinach.
We will not be disorder today. Please welcome my Not Playing With Their Food co-host, Adam Velez.
How you doing?
The Rev Spiro.
What's up?
You guys are well aware that if you finish your Coke before the food arrives, you're not getting another one?
Oh, no.
Yipes.
Do you guys call your mothers?
I was with my mother.
My mom was in church. That's what she does every Sunday. It's like screw Mother's Day. She's like, got to go to church.
Yeah. Yeah, mine too. You were with your mother?
I was with my old lady and my sisters. We had a good brunch I made them.
Ooh.
I try to be a bit fancy.
What did you make?
Yeah. I made spam. Which is in a can.
Did you really?
I don't know if you know this, but the main ingredient is elbow grease.
It's all the rage.
The main ingredient is just elbows.
This is elbows. This is pig elbow.
Oops and assholes.
Well, that's what I made them. It was fantastic. They loved it.
Nice. Glorious. I didn't even know you cooked.
I dabble, you know. I wear an apron amongst other things. I show ankle.
And nothing else.
It's gorgeous. And nothing else. I'm like Chippendales. This is a bow tie.
On your ankle.
A bow tie and a spatula.
His chef's hat.
There it is.
Let's see. So today's show is not about mothers. Today's show is about social media. And the goal of today's show is to engage, inform, and develop an overall understanding of social communication.
Yes.
You guys engaged?
Or so engaged.
And from the standpoint of the industry, I mean, the one thing I find that most every business, not just a food business, people are confused as to what to do with social media because there's so many options. Every time you think, okay, I got my Facebook done. Okay, great. I got my Twitter done. Oh, now there's Instagram.
It's too much.
Okay, then I got my Pinterest. All right, now I got the Google Plus. Now I got the Snapchat. Now I got, you know, so it's so daunting, yet it can be very helpful.
Everything now is content driven world.
Yep.
And it's hard to decide who you're going to give your trust to. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about it like in the days of like Walter Cronkite, it seemed that, you know, you believe that everybody's sources were checked and that stories have been sorted through, as imperfect and censoring as that was.
Just like our show. Yeah. Right.
Sources have been checked. Sources and sources have all been checked.
You got the top stories of the day, and then that model gave way to the 24-hour news, which is an absolute problematic paradigm that we're all aware is a total mess.
Absolutely.
Continuously providing Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert with an endless buffet of preposterous misinformation. So, you know, it seems it's a little confusing why there's such fascination with diluting that model even further and giving everyone a voice.
That's because, okay, you know, I had a boss once, and he said, you know, Warhol was wrong. Everybody isn't going to get their 15 minutes of fame. And this guy was a guy named Josh Harris, who was kind of like a visionary about the online world. He said, everyone is going to be famous every 15 minutes.
They've been talking about this since the Bible.
Yeah, and this is the truth. Yeah, that's the truth. The truth of the matter is that's the appeal to people from the social media side. Whether you like it, hate it, or whatever, what's going on is all of a sudden everyone has a platform. Everyone has an audience. Yeah, everyone can be a rock star. Look at the YouTube campaign that we're seeing on the subway right now.
Oh, my God.
There's those three women, all YouTube superstars.
Whatever happened to Chico? Now they have YouTube graffiti artists? Is that what it is? It's YouTube graffiti? I miss Chico so much.
One of the trains was pulling into the station, and I was like, oh, my God. I got so excited for a second because I thought it was like a whole car graffiti.
I thought I was going to see Ajax, Cowboy, Bebop, and like the Cochise just come out and snap dancing. Didn't happen.
Dondi, Zephyr, Futura 2000.
Let's bring our guests in. Spiro, would you like to introduce our studio guest?
We brought my friend Brooke Iverson. We've known Brooke actually grew up when me and Paul did in Bay Ridge, so he's a mook.
Oh, okay. He knows how to say mozzarella cheese.
Mozzarella
But he was also the publisher for 6 years of 11211 magazine, which was a very, very influential magazine in this neighborhood, and put out what was called Appetite, which if you didn't live in this neighborhood at the time, everybody had Appetite. Appetite was a book full of menus. It was before menu pages, before and you know what? Everyone had three or four copies of them, and they put them in binders, and they were coffee stand and blah, blah, blah. But everybody had these, and it was a brilliant idea. When I first met him, we hadn't seen each other in years, and I'm walking down the street. We see each other, and it's like I met the perfect person in this neighborhood because he's like the fucking mayor of Williamsburg.
Well, it says your Wikipedia page says that you're the mayor of Williamsburg.
Yeah, it was a nickname.
Is that because you have the most check-ins on Foursquare?
No, it's actually way before social media even entered the scene.
Yeah, seriously. Awesome. This is pre-Friendster, pre-MySpace.
This is when you needed a monocle to actually be called mayor. That's back in the day.
Yeah, no, monocle and a bullhorn.
Yeah, and they brought back the curly mustache, so you know.
I know, right? An honor.
Yeah, and Brooke actually brought a friend, and we weren't expecting, but his friend Naomi. Naomi, what do you do?
I'm an event producer based out of Los Angeles.
Cool,
thank you. I'm new here to New York, so thank you for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, welcome. Most welcome.
And me and Brooke actually got to talk in at the New School the other day in front of basically, was it 50 different markets? Edible. The way Edible works is that you and me can open an Edible Long Island or an Edible Queens if there wasn't one available. And these people don't really know much about ad sales or advertising or media or marketing or promotion or whatnot. They're all kind of newbies to the publishing industry. So we kind of did the Abbott and Costello for them and gave them our experience from the standpoint of, you know, I've been in advertising for a long time. He'd been dealing with, you know, insane bar owners and difficult restaurant owners and showing them how to promote their services first in print and then online and then later. And now he actually helps people do that. I'm selling you, dude. What's going on here?
Yeah, I know. All right. So, Spiro put together the whole presentation. I was just like the color guy.
PowerPoint.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And he was like, no, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Never do that. Never do
that. Not to him, but Spiro? To the audience. You know, I was like...
It puts the lotion on its skin.
No, I was a little bit of a hard ass. Like, you don't know your circulation? What? I'm sorry? You don't know? You can't tell me your demographic immediately? You know?
Well,
he was the nice cop.
Speaking of insane bar owners and restaurant owners, let's bring out our other guest. We got Mr. Tony Tocco on the line. Tony, are you there?
Oh, Tony will be there in a second.
Maybe he's not. We'll come back to Tony. Tony was he was the mayor of the nefarious nightlife of New Orleans.
Oh, my
God. He might not be awake yet. I knew he was the mayor because one day he was walking around with just a sash.
You had bolo ties and actually, he had actually, sash.
Yeah, what was he, Baby New Year's? All he had was a sash. Big top hat, floppy ears. You know?
So let's get into this whole thing about social media. Brooke, it says you gained fame from your production of the Oful Project, exhibits that explored the economy, aesthetics, politics, and popular culture through society's byproducts.
Yeah, that's a fancy way of saying that I actually hung up and displayed garbage.
Nice. Well, the interesting thing to me about that was that, you know, there is so much garbage in social media. Like, how do you decipher, what you should put your attention into? It seems... It's blinding. There's so much content coming at you at all times.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I would suggest that anybody do on social media is, like, engage people. Like, when I talk to clients, the first thing I tell them to do is like everything, like everybody. And sure enough, when you do that, they get a little blip in their mind of who you are or of you. So if you're liking everybody's thing, they see your name pop up.
Transparency. So, no, that's no. I see that a lot of the sites say that you should reward transparency.
Yep,
and you know it's kind of interesting because I don't like everything.
Yeah, just be incognito.
Right.
I think. So, hold on. Did we get Tony in? Tony, are you with us?
Yeah, Tony's here.
Hey, what's
Mr.
up,
Mr. Tocco? Did you just wake up?
I'm pretty fresh to the day.
Tony is the present owner of Cafe Atchafalaya in New Orleans, and he was the owner of Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge before the days of Twitter. Tony, I would imagine if Twitter was around back then, your handle would have been at Blackout. are you involved in social media now for your bars and your establishments?
Yeah, man. the first people who came to approach us, it was, Facebook, I was mildly aware of, but it was really a bunch of voices that usually go into, real estate and stuff like that, but they decided on social media, and they're just, 60 years old, and they think they've, that really dawned to something here, instead of selling houses. And it was just so bad that somehow I didn't have time to deal with it, and it was a miracle. But they, they were making us post something every day, and I'm not going to have anything interesting every fucking day. It's like my motorcycle shop posts something every day, like, we got a new wrench, we turned it left today, we turned it right today. And it was kind of random. I didn't think Facebook was about me, and a bit more of me, and I'm so great, but...
That's kind of one of the things you have to get over when doing social media is that, it is a lot of me. Brooke, getting back to the thing about rewarding transparency, I read this interesting piece, and again, guys, I'm not going to reveal my source because I might have got it off fucking HuffPo for all.
You don't want to get pinched.
It says at a very basic level, most individuals aren't necessarily incentivized to share knowledge. In fact, they're typically and unintentionally incentivized not to share information for personal survival and growth.
Yeah,
that's the largest cultural shift that older generations will find counterintuitive. So, like, that to me is like a. That says a lot because I'm still in that mode of, like, I don't want to tell everybody everything, but that's exactly what you need to do, right?
But is it a source of secrecy? Do you want to keep a secret, or are you just...
It's just how I was raised. My father wouldn't tell my mother who we voted for.
And that's indicative, I think, to all our families, is the fact that there was always, like, you don't share the family business.
Yes. Exactly.
Especially from Brooklyn.
You don't tell your friends how much I get paid. I'm like, my friends are
I remember that. My old man says it all the time. He's a sanitation worker. I was like, Dad, you're a garbage.
He said it to
man.
You this morning.
He said it to me this morning as he dropped me off here. And honked as I came into school.
It goes at him again.
What's your thought on that? Like, how important is that?
You can just basically say anything. Facebook used to be a lot more fun back in, like, 2008. And the reason why is because this New York Times article came out, I think, in 2008 late or 2009, saying that, all of your information's public, everybody can see it, there's privacy concerns. Prior to that, it was like the Wild West. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, no, he's right. He's right. And the truth of the matter is, here's what I love about Facebook the most. You've got all these Yahoos yelling about the NSA, my privacy. I know everything they did. I know who their kids are. I know where they live. I know where they were last night.
What ice cream cake they had.
It sounds really creepy in that voice.
Right, exactly. But that's my creepy voice.
He's doing a finger pyramid of evil.
Exactly, to the Mr. Burns hand rigging.
Kids go to school.
Release the hounds. But I know where all these people. I know where these people live. I know what they do every day, and they're complaining about their privacy. They're going, Facebook's giving away my privacy. You're giving away your privacy every 5 seconds.
Well, that's one of the things that really concerns me about social media is that you look at a country like Egypt and how they're utilizing it to really make some change. And we're taking fucking pictures of bagels. There's got to be something that we can be doing that is a little more constructive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Naomi's actually from Nigeria.
Oh, well. I am from Nigeria. And honestly, that's one of my biggest... I didn't want to go off on a tangent when you guys started talking about it, but that's one of my biggest problems with social media is that it's so encouraged to put out meaningless information, but such a powerful opportunity and a platform to share meaningful information, to share knowledge and, shed light on issues that we are...
experiencing now.
Yeah, exactly. That we have a personal investment toward, but we're sharing cups of our coffee.
But yeah, it is.
Showing
it's
how shallow we are.
It's the art of what do you call of just me. It's the me thing. It's the who's the Greek guy who's staring into his own reflection.
I'm thinking of Stuart Smalley.
Come on, you're asking.
You should know that.
I don't freaking know, dude.
You're the expert.
I cut out a narcissist, right? Exactly. It's the narcissism of the culture just becoming more and more entrenched in. You need to listen to what I got to say. And the truth of the matter is, back when Brooke was talking about it, and even before that, it was a lot more about sharing. I love and hate Reddit. Sometimes there was that restaurant in Annie's something or other. in Phoenix who literally got into this huge argument with people on Reddit. And that is a prime example how not to use social media. Okay, this woman got into it with, and this guy who owned this restaurant got into it with the Redditors who were saying, "Oh, well, you suck," and blah blah blah, and why do you, and just got into this huge argument about it, and just started looking stupider and stupider and stupider. And that's the one thing I've realized, because I'm pretty opinionated on Facebook. It's like the winning
stupider,
winning an argument.
Stupider.
Tell me about the rabbits, George. Yeah.
Winning an argument on Facebook is like winning a gold medal in the Special Olympics.
It's like not okay. Stupider.
Yeah,
not
seriously.
As stupider.
And the, you know how you start? You know how you start an argument on Facebook?
By not
say something.
Someone.
Say something.
pretty much.
Well, it says that one of the first steps of successful marketing is to know who you're communicating with. And it seems a little strange to me because, you know, especially for a restaurant owner in this day and age, you need to communicate with everybody. You know, it's not like you can have like your niche restaurant and just get certain people in. You have to get everybody in because overhead is so high. How does one truly analyze their demographic these days?
You know, I believed in demographics for a while, but I realized that the initial research that I did with 11211 was not about demographics. It was more about lifestyle. And I didn't embrace the hipsters at all. I embraced the Polish community, Spanish community, the Italian community, and the Hasids.
Because they're entrenched.
Yep. And they're entrenched, and they know the zip code, and you know everybody else that came in. It was that was the content, but it wasn't directed toward them. It was kind of like letting the adjacent community know what's going on with the hipsters.
Right.
Yeah. So
did you know that the most 311 calls in New York come from Williamsburg?
Especially about
how
the subway.
How do you screw in a light bulb?
About noise. It's so crazy that like these kids are moving to New York and they're calling the cops on each other. They're telling on mom. I'm telling mom.
I know. I'm cutting you off because we were a little bit over time. We're gonna go to a break real quick. We're going to come back. We're still talking about social media. Talk to you guys in just a second.
Yeah.
Stay with us, Tony.
I am.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. You know, there's no more telling aspect, no more revealing virtue of a group of people having evolved in a lovely way than how they feed themselves, how they entertain, how they put food on the table, what they put on the table. Heritage Radio Network provides the clearest evidence that there's hope for us yet. Heritage Radio's like Fairway Market in that we both care deeply about what you're having for dinner tonight. Heritage Radio Network is not just about food, though. Every time I tune in, I learn something about things other than food, too. Architecture, design, stuff like that. But from where I stand, I still say, if you can't eat it, what's the point? For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
We are back.
Good thing that wasn't on there.
Oh, you want to repeat that for the audience?
No,
on Mother's Day, Paul?
Thank you. I'll tweet it later.
So we're still talking about the social media and basically the goods, the bads, the weirds, the funnies, the sads, the angries, the not so angries. But we've got Tony Tocco with us, and I believe, Tony, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Tony, I believe you said you were starting an app.
Yeah, app, website, could be live as early as the end of this week, definitely by the middle of the next week. Paulie, I just sent you a screenshot if you want to show the guys on your phone. But first of all, a real quick story about social media. You know, we're known for our brunch, and we had the mother of all fucking brunches today.
Nice.
And, oh, you know,
hey now, I see what you did there.
But our open storm last night fried our open table. We were flying blind. I was holding up this long yellow thing to guess. I'm like, can you guys tell me what this is? They go, get the pencil. I'm like, fuck. I'm happy you guys do. It's just, we're running blind, but the thing is, we could, you know, it was handy to go on Facebook because we do about 30% walk-ins, even though we're booked. We managed to cram them in, but we were able to go on to Facebook and say, hey, Matt, if you have trouble, our, you know, open tape down, you know, at least that's one. Worked in my favor, but specialist is the name of it. Special us, one word, because mainly every fucking elf thing was taken. Even with a silent Q, somebody is cyber squatting.
The silent Qs are all the rage.
But really, it's a reaction for my hatred of Yelp, and it's my and I in Facebook. You know, it's like a neighborhood, and everybody going on me. Basically, specialist is about pre-meal, and it's allowing anybody on there to be selfish for 10 to 30 seconds at a time. Basically, what goes on is the app knows where you are, and you would use it in a utilitarian fashion as a restaurant search, or you would just have fun with it looking at it's a video sharing platform, and a chef, a cook, waiter, a bartender looks into a smartphone like we all have, and he goes, hey, this is Tony from Chapalaya. Tonight we're doing sauteed scallops over cauliflower puree, blah, 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 blah. Takes about 10 seconds, 30 seconds. And
it's like Vine for food.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. You get the vibe of the restaurant in the background, or you can get the pots and pans clean. You're in the kitchen. You can introduce your staff, you know, the other cooks. You can do drink specials.
I like food how it's like it comes.
They can see where they're going to be, pop-ups, blah, blah. But the thing is, you can't comment. There's not any room for anybody to go on.
Brilliant.
I like that. I like how it's positive. It is. It's positive. If you can't comment, and you know, you said in your little about us on the site, you know, that, like, if you want to be snarky and you want to act like a dick, you know, fine, go about it. But you know, it's not going to be fun. You know, at least have fun with it. You know, I like how you cut that. There's another blog. It's called Food Spotting, and at least like they have a thing that says you can say loved it. We don't allow negative ratings because we're all about foods people love. Like, they don't even allow it. You can't say it. It's either nothing or loved it.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, enough with the negativity at this point.
Well, that's the thing. I think we were saying that before. Everybody's a damn critic.
Everybody
wants to drive a nail into somebody to make them feel better. You know, it's really, that's what it comes down to. It's feeling better about yourself at the expense of somebody else. But I mean, yeah, it's turned into bullying. It's turned into intimidation.
Twitter bullying.
Have you seen what can happen on Twitter? Have you seen like the tweefs? You know what tweefs
are? They call
it Twitter
trolling?
Twitter beefs.
Yeah.
Trolling.
It is trolling. Yeah,
trolling.
But yeah, like the hip hop community now has tweef.
Yikes.
You know,
Queen Latifah.
During the break, Brooke and I, we were all talking about how, you know, I've done plenty of research on how to do these things, and I've tried a bunch of different things for different restaurants and different projects, and it's difficult. Even when you're doing all the hashtags and everything, like I've gotten to a point where at times I've had my followers up to like 6,000, you know. But if you're not on it all the time, you know, they just start to drop off very quickly. But I had said to you, how do you make it work? How do you know, like, how do you know the hashtags that are going to work? And you said that it is possible. You can nail it.
Yeah. What you need to do is, one, naturally research it. But actually, I just hire somebody that does it. I got this girl from Horizon Media. She knows how to knock it out of the park. Mm-hmm. And she sits there and does it all day long. Nonstop. Wow. Yeah.
That was another thing that I wanted to ask. Can a mom and pop place that can't afford a social marketing person, can they do it? Can they do it without it? Because I tried it on my own, and it's a fucking full-time job.
It is.
A huge pain
in
the ass.
And not only that, but we're in the older age range. Like, these kids grew up with this.
Yeah.
It's like second nature to them.
Okay, now, and I'm not saying this is good or bad, but have you guys ever read 1984? Remember how there was Newspeak, and it was just like everything became, it's not good, it's double plus good, you know, whatever. Now, this is what's going on. We've written a new language. We've written a new language. It's called Twitter. It's called tweeting. And what is it? It's exactly that.
Hashtag annoying.
Yeah. she's just
to add to the cost issue, so many kids are experts at this. They're growing up younger, and they can do it. If you do research, you will find someone that can run a campaign for you for pretty inexpensive. They're ones that charge as low as like $30 because they just want to earn an extra buck, and they're really good at it.
And with a restaurant,
so look at unconventional options too versus hiring like a professional, and you'll get better results.
Just hire a kid. Let's bring child labor back.
Right, and a mom and pop shop, you know, just like hook the kid up and his friends with food.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So like leverage the cost.
That's a good idea. Trade.
Yeah, barter, man.
The barter system is always good.
Well, I mean, and the other thing is this, the ones that fascinate me aren't the Twitters and the Facebooks anymore. It's the Instagram. And the, what do you call it, which we keep getting from Orlo, our producer, the you've got to put more Instagram on. You've got to put more Instagram. I'm like, okay, I'm not a photographer. I'd like to. What am I taking pictures
Everybody
of?
Everybody on Instagram is a photographer.
Yeah.
So they have filters for those.
And Pinterest is the other one. It's like just imagery.
Right.
And that's what Snapchat is, too. It's video and photos.
Yeah.
But just images.
It's too
images.
Many. I can't wrap my brain around
them.
What I'm saying here is those three have no. It's the words are not what matters. Neither are the hashtags. It's the image.
Tony, when you did Specialist, is that why you said no comments and you moved away from text and just stuck with video and picture?
Yeah. I just, you know, I'm a little green to this, and I dove into it just full head on. But I just wanted to keep it pure and simple. I just thought, man, you know, if you can get this far, if you get to my site, it's just about what the kitchen's saying to you. You getting it. It can go, there's a way to share it and all that. But, you know, it's just about keeping the message simple, uncorrupted. That's the thing.
I think it's the uncorrupted part that I'm not comfortable with. I'm much more comfortable with bone-deep corruption.
He's a fan of Warriors.
The corruption, not being uncorrupted.
So what would you recommend for somebody who is,
Brooke,
you know, just starting out and even if they're not starting out, but they just can't wrap their brain around all this stuff? Like, which one do you focus on? If you had to pick one, which one would you do?
We talked about this at the New School, but go ahead, yeah.
The Facebook, period.
Facebook, yeah?
Yeah, period.
It hits all of them because Facebook is the catalyst.
It's like the DMV.
But I'd say no, LinkedIn is important too. You know, from a business standpoint, if you want to connect with both professionals.
So you think LinkedIn is more important than Facebook?
No. I agree with him in regards to, I think Facebook and Twitter are the two most important. Okay, but LinkedIn is important from your standpoint as a business person and somebody trying to make money. All right, because you need to be connected to your peers. You need to be connected to your purveyors. You need to be connected to your suppliers. You need to be able to find new suppliers. And they're going to try to connect with you on Facebook. I mean, on LinkedIn. You know, so I think that's as important. But we actually did this with the Edible Magazine people the other day. We were like, are you on Facebook? Why aren't you on Facebook? Are you on LinkedIn? Why aren't you on LinkedIn? Are you on Twitter? Why aren't you on Twitter? Why aren't you on all of these?
Yeah.
Now, they're not restaurateurs. They're trying to sell, you know, advertising to restaurateurs. But to me, it's just as important to make sure that you're getting the information. It's not just about putting the information up there. It's about being able to resource. It's about being able to find better pricing. It's about being able to find new leads and contacts and things you need. You need a new kitchen supply guy. You know, you've got a bunch of groups that you're on LinkedIn that are all restaurant related. You put in one question: I need new forks. Five people will come to you.
I read something that I actually found very interesting in one of these how-to social media whatevers. And it said,
called a book.
It said that you have to empower your users, and the whole idea is about you want to reduce risk for your users, which I found to be pretty interesting. And it was one of the first times that I almost understood Yelp. Like Yelp, if used properly, it does. It reduces risk, you know. Yeah. So, if that's one of the broad strokes of social media, like how does Twitter reduce risk? Like how do you reduce risk for your users?
Well, I could tell you from my standpoint with Twitter, you can't say anything stupid when you don't have that much to say. That's one of the wonderful things about Twitter. You really got to try to say something really stupid.
Yeah, I can
on
do
Twitter.
That.
Okay,
I can totally handle that.
The thing about Twitter is it's really fast. You got to get your point out right away. Okay, so the risk is reduced from the standpoint of the medium doesn't allow you to risk much, right? And what happens is, the same way as Facebook being liked, the retweets are where you're going to find out what was liked. And then you can start saying, okay, every time I put something up about cheese, I get retweets.
You know what? The biggest retweet that I ever had, yeah. And you know, I've tried hashtag motherfucking everything. The biggest retweet I ever had was hashtag love.
Really?
That was the biggest one.
On
that
Mother's
went,
Day.
It went, no, it was actually on Valentine's
where
Day.
Where am I? That's not all. It's made of solid gold.
But what are some of your favorite hashtags?
You know, look. The thing is, we're you know, talking about the little independent pieces of the puzzle. The overall picture is this. What I think, where people were spending money on public relations and a public relations firm to get in touch with the mainstream media, they should spend that same amount of money in social media.
Yeah.
Right, because you're getting that kind of exposure.
Instead of a publicist.
Or get a publicist or a publicist company.
That knows social media.
Yeah. I mean, you still have to spend it, you know, you still have to advertise the same way. Now, you know, instead of advertising the New York Times, you could just start, like, I troll them for people. So, like, I, you know, see a popular article that just comes up, boom, pop a comment in, wait 5 minutes, pop another comment in, and I get thousands of hits.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. By trolling, like, the major league things, or, like, a football game. Or a baseball game.
Right, well, I used to put Adam out with a sandwich board. And it said hashtag town crier.
And all he was wearing was a hashtag.
It was a hashtag, which was the same color as the Statue of Liberty. So I had a sense of freedom.
It was a sash tag.
So is there anything you guys want to wrap it up with? Any piece of advice? Tony, you got any piece of advice? Don't take any wooden Coke bags or something?
Nah, man, you know, just, you know, our best success I ever had on Facebook, and somehow our social media people, they did tie our Facebook post to tweets also. But, man, you fucking just self-deprecating. There was some fucking humor in there, you know. I mean, I think the best one we ever had was beat my Valentine and reshaped a couple of stakes in the, like, a heart. Just fucking keep it simple. If you want, I just hate the capacity of
Me. All right. Well, you're kind of cutting out there, Tony. Brooke, anything, Brooke?
You know,
and if you got anything to plug, now's the time to do it.
Okay. Right. All right. Yeah. So, anything that's amazing, anything that you would consider amazing, share that, because really, people all they want to do is be able to, like, talk about themselves, yeah. And that's the way to grab the American market.
And you guys are starting something. I just want to
Naomi and I had started something called the Who Cup, the Who Cup. The THEWHOCUP.com. It's a fashion networking.
It's like
fashion.
It's like hookup.
Yeah, right.
I see that. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Don't be shy, Naomi.
As far as advice for social media, bring it back there really quick. I say create the experience as much as possible.
Yeah.
And for the fashion networking thing, I'm sure you guys will hear more about it if we ever come back on the show. But if you want to find out more, thehookup.com, any fashion industry professional who is already successful in the industry.
Yeah, we could do a show about fashion and food. It'll be over in like 5 seconds.
No.
And we'll have to wear plastic wraps.
How dare you guys.
I'm sorry. All right, I guess we're wrapping it up. Thanks again. This is another exciting episode of
Hashtag Eating Disorder. Follow us at Fork U Radio.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Brooke. Thank you, Naomi.
Thank you.
Of course. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony.
Big man.
thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.